Overflowing Merit, translated by Bhikkhu Sujato. Overflowing Merit, first. At Sarvati, mendicants, there are these four kinds of overflowing merit, overflowing goodness. They nurture happiness and are conducive to heaven, ripening in happiness and leading to heaven. They lead to what is likeable, desirable, agreeable, to welfare and happiness. What for? When a mendicant enters and remains in a limitless immersion of heart while using a robe, the overflowing of merit for the donor is limitless. When a mendicant enters and remains in a limitless immersion of heart while eating alms food, the overflowing of merit for the donor is limitless. When a mendicant enters and remains in a limitless immersion of heart while using lodgings, the overflowing of merit for the donor is limitless. When a mendicant enters and remains in a limitless immersion of heart while using medicines and supplies for the sick, the overflowing of merit for the donor is limitless. These are the four kinds of overflowing merit, overflowing goodness. They nurture happiness and are conducive to heaven, ripening in happiness and leading to heaven. They lead to what is likeable, desirable, agreeable, to welfare and happiness. When a noble disciple has these four kinds of overflowing merit and goodness, it's not easy to grasp how much merit they have by saying that this is the extent of their overflowing merit that leads to happiness. It's simply reckoned as an incalculable, immeasurable, great mass of merit. It's like trying to grasp how much water is in the ocean. It's not easy to say how many gallons, how many hundreds of thousands of gallons there are. It's simply reckoned as an incalculable, immeasurable, great mass of water. In the same way, when a noble disciple has these four kinds of overflowing merit, it's simply reckoned as an incalculable, immeasurable, great mass of merit. Hosts of people use the rivers, and though the rivers are many, all reach the great deep, the boundless ocean, the cruel sea that's home to precious gems. In the same way, when a person gives food, drink, and clothes, and they're a giver of beds, seats, and mats, the streams of merit reach that astute person, as the rivers bring their waters to the sea. Overflowing merit, second. Mendicants, there are these four kinds of overflowing merit, overflowing goodness. They nurture happiness and are conducive to heaven, ripening in happiness and leading to heaven. They lead to what is likeable, desirable, agreeable, to welfare and happiness. What for? It's when a noble disciple has experiential confidence in the Buddha, that blessed one is perfected, a fully awakened Buddha, accomplished in knowledge and conduct, holy, knower of the world, supreme guide for those who wish to train, teacher of gods and humans, awakened, blessed. This is the first kind of overflowing merit. Furthermore, a noble disciple has experiential confidence in the teaching. The teaching is well explained by the Buddha, visible in this very life, immediately effective, inviting inspection, relevant, so that sensible people can know it for themselves. This is the second kind of overflowing merit. Furthermore, a noble disciple has experiential confidence in the Sangha. The Sangha of the Buddha's disciples is practicing the way that's good, direct, methodical and proper. It consists of the four pairs, the eight individuals. This is the Sangha of the Buddha's disciples that is worthy of offerings dedicated to the gods, worthy of hospitality, worthy of a religious donation, worthy of greeting with joined palms, and is the supreme field of merit for the world. This is the third kind of overflowing merit. Furthermore, a noble disciple's ethical conduct is loved by the noble ones, unbroken, impeccable, spotless, and unmarred, liberating, praised by sensible people, not mistaken, and leading to immersion. This is the fourth kind of overflowing merit. These are the four kinds of overflowing merit, overflowing goodness. They nurture happiness and are conducive to heaven, ripening in happiness and leading to heaven. They lead to what is likeable, desirable, agreeable, to welfare and happiness. Whoever has faith in the realized one, unwavering and well-grounded, whose ethical conduct is good, praised and loved by the noble ones, who has confidence in the Sangha and correct view, they're said to be prosperous. Their life is not in vain. So let the wise devote themselves to faith, ethical behaviour, confidence and insight into the teaching, remembering the instructions of the Buddhas. Living together, first. At one time, the Buddha was travelling along the road between Mathura and Waranja, as were several householders, both women and men. The Buddha left the road and sat at the root of a tree, where the householders saw him. They went up to the Buddha, bowed and sat down to one side. The Buddha said to them, "Householders, there are four ways of living together. What four? A male zombie living with a female zombie, a male zombie living with a goddess, a god living with a female zombie, a god living with a goddess. And how does a male zombie live with a female zombie? It's when the husband kills living creatures, steals, commits sexual misconduct, lies, and uses alcoholic drinks that cause negligence. He's unethical, of bad character, living at home with his heart full of the stain of stinginess, abusing and insulting ascetics and Brahmins. And the wife is also unethical, of bad character. That's how a male zombie lives with a female zombie. And how does a male zombie live with a goddess? It's when the husband is unethical, of bad character, but the wife doesn't kill living creatures, steal, commit sexual misconduct, lie, or use alcoholic drinks that cause negligence. She's ethical, of good character, living at home with her heart rid of the stain of stinginess, not abusing and insulting ascetics and Brahmins. That's how a male zombie lives with a goddess. And how does a god live with a female zombie? It's when the husband is ethical, of good character, but the wife is unethical, of bad character. That's how a god lives with a female zombie. And how does a god live with a goddess? It's when the husband is ethical, of good character, and the wife is also ethical, of good character. That's how a god lives with a goddess. These are the four ways of living together. When both are unethical, miserly and abusive, then wife and husband live together as zombies. When the husband is unethical, miserly and abusive, but the wife is ethical, bountiful, rid of stinginess, she's a goddess living with a zombie for a husband. When the husband is ethical, bountiful, rid of stinginess, but the wife is unethical, miserly and abusive, she's a zombie living with a god for a husband. When both are faithful and bountiful, disciplined, living righteously, then wife and husband say nice things to each other. They get all the things they need so they live at ease. Their enemies are downhearted when both are equal in ethics. Having practiced the teaching here, both equal in precepts and observances, they delight in the heavenly realm, enjoying all the pleasures they desire. Living together, second. Mendicants, there are four ways of living together. What for? A male zombie living with a female zombie. A male zombie living with a goddess, a god living with a female zombie, a god living with a goddess. And how does a male zombie live with a female zombie? It's when the husband kills living creatures, steals, commits sexual misconduct. He uses speech that's false, divisive, harsh or nonsensical, and he's covetous, malicious and has wrong view. He's unethical, of bad character, living at home with his heart full of the stain of stinginess, abusing and insulting ascetics and Brahmins. And the wife is also unethical, of bad character. That's how a male zombie lives with a female zombie. And how does a male zombie live with a goddess? It's when the husband is unethical, of bad character, but the wife doesn't kill living creatures, steal, commit sexual misconduct, lie, or use alcoholic drinks that cause negligence. She doesn't use speech that's false, divisive, harsh, or nonsensical, and she's contented, kind-hearted, with right view. She's ethical, of good character, living at home with her heart rid of the stain of stinginess, not abusing and insulting ascetics and Brahmins. That's how a male zombie lives with a goddess. And how does a god live with a female zombie? It's when the husband is ethical, of good character, but the wife is unethical, of bad character. That's how a god lives with a female zombie. And how does a god live with a goddess? It's when the husband is ethical, of good character, and the wife is also ethical, of good character. That's how a god lives with a goddess. These are the four ways of living together. Equality, first. So I have heard. At one time, the Buddha was staying in the land of the Buggas on Crocodile Hill, in the deer park at Besakala's wood. Then the Buddha robed up in the morning and, taking his bowl and robe, went to the home of the householder Nakula's father, where he sat on the seat spread out. Then the householder Nakula's father and the housewife Nakula's mother went up to the Buddha, bowed and sat down to one side. Nakula's father said to the Buddha, "Sir, ever since we were both young, and Nakula's mother was given to me in marriage, I can't recall betraying her even in thought, still less in deed. We want to see each other in both this life and the next." Then Nakula's mother said to the Buddha, "Sir, ever since we were both young, and I was given in marriage to Nakula's father, I can't recall betraying him even in thought, still less in deed. We want to see each other in both this life and the next." Householders, if wife and husband want to see each other in both this life and the next, they should be equals in faith, ethical conduct, generosity, and wisdom. When both are faithful and bountiful, disciplined, living righteously, then wife and husband say nice things to each other. They get all the things they need, so they live at ease. Their enemies are downhearted when both are equal in ethics. Having practiced the teaching here, both equal in precepts and observances, they delight in the heavenly realm, enjoying all the pleasures they desire. Supavasa. At one time the Buddha was staying in the land of the Koliyans, where they have a town named Pajanika. Then the Buddha robed up in the morning and, taking his bowl and robe, went to the home of Supavasa the Koliyan, where he sat down on the seat spread out. Then Supavasa served and satisfied the Buddha with her own hands with a variety of delicious foods. When the Buddha had eaten and washed his hand and bowl, she sat down to one side. The Buddha said to her, "Supavasa, when a noble disciple gives food, she gives the recipients four things. What for? Long life, beauty, happiness, and strength. Giving long life, she has long life as a god or human. Giving beauty, she has beauty as a god or human. Giving happiness, she has happiness as a god or human. Giving strength, she has strength as a god or human." When a noble disciple gives food, she gives the recipients these four things. When she gives well-prepared food, pure, fine, and full of flavour, that offering, given to the upright, who have good conduct and are big-hearted, joins merit to merit. It's very fruitful and is praised by those who know the world. Those who recall such sacrifices live in the world full of inspiration. They've driven out the stain of stinginess, root and all. Blameless, they go to a heavenly place. Sudatta. Then the householder Anathapindika went up to the Buddha, bowed, and sat down to one side. The Buddha said to him, Householder, when a noble disciple gives food, they give the recipients four things. What for? Long life, beauty, happiness, and strength. Giving long life, they have long life as a god or human. Giving beauty, they have beauty as a god or human. Giving happiness, they have happiness as a god or human. Giving strength, they have strength as a god or human. When a noble disciple gives food, they give the recipients these four things. Carefully giving food at the right time to those who are disciplined, eating only what others give, you provide them with four things: long life, beauty, happiness, and strength. A person who gives long life, beauty, happiness, and strength has long life and fame wherever they are reborn. Lay practice. Then the householder Anathapindika went up to the Buddha, bowed and sat down to one side. The Buddha said to him, Householder, when a noble disciple does four things, they are practicing appropriately for a layperson, which brings fame and leads to heaven. What for? It's when a noble disciple serves the mendicant Sangha with robes, alms food, lodgings, and medicines and supplies for the sick. When a noble disciple does these four things, they are practicing appropriately for a layperson, which brings fame and leads to heaven. Those who are astute practice the way that's appropriate for lay people. They provide those who are ethical and on the right path with robes, alms food, lodgings, and supplies for the sick. Their merit always grows by day and by night. They pass on to a place in heaven, having done excellent deeds.